Last month I was talking to you about the fact that there are things that are unlimited. In other words, things that we can invest in, and there is no limit to how much you can invest, how much time that you spend, how much energy that you spend. It will always come back to you. So tonight, I think I mentioned this to you last month, but we want to talk about specific things now that are unlimited, kind of rehearsing a little bit. But I was listening to Rick Warren's testimony, and he was talking about when him and his wife got married, I think he said like 40 years ago, something like that, that they started tithing. Well, they'd been tithing, but they decided that they would increase their tithe by 1% a year. Because the scripture says, "Try me, says the Lord, and see if I won't pour out a blessing." So he said, we just decided between the two of us that we wanted to do that. They didn't tell anybody about it. It was just the two of them. And so the first year, they went to 11%, and they went to 12%. And they just kept increasing and increasing and increasing. And, of course, now they give 91%. They said it was kind of a milestone when they crossed the 90%, because a lot of people have gone to 90. And he said, you know, and then we went to 91%. And he said, I take no salary from the church, and just God supplies. Of course, he's written books and things like that, has this income. But he said, we live just fine on 9% of our income. Because that's talking about money-wise. And, of course, we know that that's true. But what about other things? Those of you that have read my book, Joy of Believing, I've talked about investing faith. If we will invest our faith in Jesus, the faith of Jesus will accomplish miraculous things. And you can increase in faith and increase in faith and increase in faith, and you will never come to the limit of, well, you've hit a plateau now. You're not going to go beyond that point. It just won't happen. And here we have in Matthew 17:20, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. What happens is, in our brain, we read things like this, and our brain clicks off. It's like our hearts believe that, but our brains give up on it. The other day, I turned the air conditioner down, trying to get it to come on, and it never came on. And there was no reason for it not to come on. It just, I guess it was done. And so I waited a good reasonable amount of time, and it didn't come on. And I said, Father, would you fix the air conditioner for me? Immediately it started. It's been running fine ever since. But you, beloved Jude, of course, there's only one chapter in Jude, but I put it in there that way anyway. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. What I've noticed is the more I pray in tongues, praying in the Spirit, and by the way, the phrase there, most of you already know this, but the phrase there in the Greek is identical to I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray in the understanding also. Knowing that Paul there in Corinthians is referring to praying in tongues, for us it would be praying in tongues and praying in English, it's that exact same phrase, praying in the Spirit. So, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, or praying in the Holy Spirit. So the more I pray in tongues, the quicker I can act in faith. See, faith isn't sitting around saying, I believe. Faith is acting on what God tells you to do. Some of you that remember my teaching from many years back, the word of the Lord. And I went through and put all the scriptures. The word of the Lord is go. The centurion, remember Jesus commented on his faith? He said, I've never seen such faith in all of Israel. He never said anything to the guy. Jesus never said anything to the centurion about believing. What did he tell him? Go home. And he went home and he found his servant was healed. See? And so it's the how we know that we're acting in faith is the going. See, you don't want to go before God tells you, but you don't want to hesitate when God tells you. See, Jesus said, I do what I see my Father do. So he had this kind of faith in the Father. And of course, the Father is faithful to the Son. And he's absolutely as faithful to you as he was to Jesus. He didn't have one faithfulness for Jesus and another faithfulness for you. It's all the same faithfulness. The fact is, Jesus said in John 14, he's talking about, it's my Father that's in me that does the work. And he turns right around and says, the things I do, you're going to do, and greater than these you're going to do because I go to my Father. So there's nothing impossible. Our brains will click off and say, oh, I'm not going to do that. You know? See, we can run around and play like we're doing kingdom work. But there isn't any greater work than praying in tongues and prayer and praying in the Spirit. Yeah, there isn't any greater work out there. Okay, Romans 1:17. For in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed. Now look what it says here. Both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith, that arouses to more faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live, and shall live by faith. So, yes, we had faith and we were born again. We had faith and we were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then we have more faith and more faith and more faith and more faith. And it continues to increase. It's not just like, okay, I have faith. Something real interesting is that when you've made an investment, say spending time praying in tongues, it amazes me that people who haven't called me for months will all of a sudden call with a need. It's like someone tells them, when I have that super abundance, more and more and more, it's like somebody calls them up and tells them, here they're coming by, they're calling, or I walk out and it's like, well, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. So there's something supernatural going on when we're praying in the Spirit, when we're praying in tongues. God is doing something in the atmosphere. God's doing something in people's hearts. I had the vacation Bible school, and pastor said, there's no need to have vacation Bible school unless you're going to pray. We're believing for 40 kids to be born again. And so we want everyone to pray. We want 40 people who will pray for an hour. And of course, I did my hour and kept going. And we ended up with 58 born again. What if we knew that we could pray and people would be born again?
Yes.
What if we knew that? See, would there be any limit to what we would want to do? Okay, believing. Now we know the believing is different than faith. Faith is a noun. Believing is a verb. So believing is acting on the faith. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Now, the believing here is the same as Jesus talking about the grain of mustard seed. It is when, if you have 1% of faith, okay, Lord, I believe, I have 1% of faith, you put that faith in Jesus, he'll add the 99%, which makes it 100%, and it works every time. So, Lord, I believe. In other words, he had just heard Jesus say, if you will believe. We know faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So he heard. Now his response is, Lord, I believe. In other words, I believe what you just said. See, that's all he had to go on. He didn't have time to read the whole of the Old Testament. Jesus didn't stand there and preach a sermon. Jesus just spoke a word. It's amazing, as you are filled with the Spirit, that you can speak just a sentence to an individual, and that individual pick up on that sentence and believe. Remember when Paul was in Lystra, and he was preaching, and there was a lame man there. And it said, and Paul saw that he had faith to be healed. It was just while Paul was talking. He wasn't talking about healing or anything. He was just talking about Jesus and the resurrection. We know what Paul's sermons were always the same. Jesus and the resurrection. Jesus and the resurrection. Jesus and the resurrection. But as he talked about Jesus and the resurrection, a totally lame man picks up on that word and has faith to be healed. What's Paul do? He said, jump up on your feet. And he got up. That's part of the going. See, that's the believing. Stand up on your feet. See,
I read in the Angel today about a man in South Africa. Anyway, he developed leprosy. And he was in a service. They called him unclean. They said he wasn't supposed to go. But anyway, maybe before he left to go home and be by himself, when he was unclean, he was in a prayer meeting, and God caused that leprosy to leave his mm-hmm. body, and in the very eyes of the people saw that.
Mm-hmm.
God can do it.
Yep. I was over ministering in Hannibal, Missouri. And they invited me to a meeting. I think I knew one person in the entire church that I went to. And when I got there, there was this man that was lame. Something had happened to both of his ankles, and he was on crutches. Here again, there were people there that they wanted to pray. You know, I was like, okay, let's do this thing. And I said, no, we don't do it that way. I said, let's find out what God's doing. So I just waited a little bit, and God said, make a circle around the man, stand him up on his crutches in the middle of the room, and just have put their arm this way and the other arm this way. In other words, we're not contributing anything. And so everyone did. We were in a circle around him. Everyone put their arms like this and just stood back. I said to the man, I said, okay, now walk. And we took that first step. As soon as his foot hit the floor, that ankle was healed. As soon as the next foot hit the floor, that ankle was healed. He went to work the next day as a carpenter, up and down ladders. everything. Go. See, believe. That's all he had to do, was believe. Sometimes we get in the way by trying to do too many things, rather than finding out what's Father doing. We want to know, Father, what are you doing? How do you want to do this? And the neat thing is that it's always changing. So we can't make a religion out of it. You know, just because Jesus made spittle and put it on a blind guy's eyes doesn't mean that we should run around and put spittle on everybody's eyes. Because it won't work. It'll only work if we do what God tells us to do. So it takes relationship, it takes fellowship, it takes oneness with God. Being one with the Father, one with Jesus, one with the Holy Spirit. And just doing whatever they do. Okay, so the next part. Okay, the next one then is words. Luke 17, verses 5 and 6. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So speaking words. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember it said, and we hear them speaking in our language, the wonderful works of God. Remember what faith is. It's the combination of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Father spoke and the Spirit moved. That's how he created the universe. And it says, we understand it was by faith that God created the universe. So God has faith. Jesus has faith. The Holy Spirit has faith. And that faith is in us because the Godhead dwells in us bodily. So there's no reason why we can't speak God's words. If we speak God's words, in other words, the word that he's saying to you at the moment, and we understand that from the Greek to be the rhema word, that word that we're hearing from God at that very moment. That's how Jesus defeated the devil. He quoted scriptures, but he quoted the scriptures that the Father gave him at the moment he needed them. And he spoke a rhema word and defeated Satan. And we can speak words, and we don't know what those words are ahead of time. See, we read a lot of scripture, we memorize a lot of scripture, but you don't know what that word is until the moment of impact. In other words, when God is ready to do something, he'll tell you the word. Just like he was talking about when you're brought into court. Now, don't meditate ahead of time what to say, because the Father will give it to you. And Jesus said, it's real neat there in John 14, that he said, it's the Father's words and it's the Father's work, and he talks about it as though it's all one thing. He doesn't talk about words and work as being two different things. It's my Father's words and it's my Father's work. It's all one. And so, how are we going to impact the earth? How are we going to impact the lost? How are we going to make a difference? And it's going to be by being so in tune with the Father that we can speak his words. I speak what I hear my Father speak. Jesus didn't go off to the mountain and get a list of words to say. He went off to the mountain and he spent time with the Father in communion. He soaked in the presence of the Father. And then when he walked down, he was listening to hear what the Father spoke. looking to see what the Father was doing. And we can do that. We can walk into Walmart and do that. We can be at the gas station and do that. We can be out on the street and do that. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. A lot of people think, well, okay, his words abide in me, and if I need a Rolls Royce, I just ask for it. Whatever I ask for, I'll have. Go ahead and do that. Oh, be sure and pray for the gas, too, because the gas, they don't get very good gas mileage. But if we're in this relationship with the Father, if we're in this love relationship and this fellowship with the Father, we don't care about ourselves. It don't matter to me what I drive. I want to be the Lord's transportation, and I believe the Lord will provide transportation. And that's all I care about. As long as I get here, that's all that matters to me. I don't care if he transports me here miraculously. I really don't care. Don't matter to me what I drive, how I get from one place to the other. All I want to do is be there when I'm needed, so I can please the Father. See, I'm not about pleasing people. I'm about pleasing the Father. If we're about His business, hearing the Word, knowing what God is doing, and then letting that Word be in you, speaking that Word, doing that Word. That's what we're talking about here. Jesus left a trail everywhere he went. You could go days after he'd been there, and there was a fragrance, a trail, people still talking about this man Jesus. Okay, power. Power is unlimited. There's no limit to the amount of power God will manifest through you. He's not just giving you power. See, he's giving you himself. And he is the power. And he's flowing through us so that we can do the things we need to do. Okay? Ephesians 1:19-20. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. That's the reason why Paul preached Jesus and the resurrection. Jesus and the resurrection. Jesus and the resurrection. Jesus and the resurrection. Because it's resurrection power that makes the difference. That's what changes lives. That's what heals the sick. That's what raises the dead. See? It's this resurrection power. So let's read it again. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? And then it just takes the lid off. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now, if you come up against anything that is greater than raising Jesus from the dead, then you'll probably need to talk to the Father about getting a little bit more of something. But until you come up to that point, then you have enough. You have enough power to do everything God wants you to do. It's even better than that. You have all the power to do everything God wants to do. the more you obey, it's a very simple principle. The more you obey, the easier it is to obey. If you start slacking off, it gets harder to restart. Okay, authority. Matthew 28:18, everybody knows the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority. Now in the Greek, this is two different words than power. If you're reading King James, both of them will be power. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, Acts 1:8. That's the Greek word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. It's ability, efficiency, and might. This Greek word is ekousia, and it's authority. Okay? A police officer has a badge that gives him authority. He has a gun that gives him power. Okay? And, of course, he needs to have both to be an effective police officer. But it's amazing that someone without a gun, without a pistol, all they have is a badge, and there can be a Mack truck coming, and they can walk out there and hold up their hand, and the truck will stop. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because they have authority. See, the authority that's been given to them, either if it's county or if it's state or if it's federal, then it's like if it's federal, if it's the FBI, you know, it's the entire United States of America that says, you better stop. See, it's not one man. What gave the man the authority? Okay, that's what we're talking about here. And so all the authority of heaven has been given to Jesus. Jesus has given that authority to you and I. And we act in his behalf. We act with that authority. It was interesting when Jesus spoke, it said, and we heard him, and he spoke as one having authority. He wasn't just talking with a bunch of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He had the backing of the Father that had given him the authority to speak in his behalf. So all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Here we go again. Go. See. Go. You go. Therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So, as we go, then we go with authority. We also go with power. We go with demonstration. Luke 1:9. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority, both, over all demons and to cure diseases. Power and authority, dunamis and ecclesia. There again, sometimes we become a bit hesitant because it's almost like we're speaking blatantly to situations or demons or whatever. And it's like, but what if they erupt on us? You know, what if this don't work, basically, is what we're saying. See? And what I had to learn was that the authority isn't out there. The authority is actually in here. Because Jesus lives in me and he has all authority. And so when I'm speaking, it's not me speaking. It's Jesus speaking. What he's hearing from the Father. And we speak and things tremble. Things happen when we speak with this authority. Okay? Wisdom is unlimited. There's no limit to the amount of wisdom. Remember, we said that God created the universe. There was wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It's the three principal things. Wisdom was the architect, the designer. And then knowledge is all how things are made, seeing how things are made, understanding, as we see in Scripture, is how he put it all together. We can have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So when someone comes to me and they're talking and I say, oh, I understand, you know, and a lot of times we just use that as a phrase. We really don't understand. But we say, yeah, well, I want to be understanding. It's kind of like being nice. You know, I want to be nice. Yeah, I understand. But if you will wait on God, God will show you everything about the situation, how they got themselves tangled up in the mess they're in, and what it's going to take to get them out. So if you understand, understanding will tell you how it fits. Okay? So wisdom was the design. So let's see what the scripture has to say. If anyone lacks wisdom, as being able to see how everything was made to begin with, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If any man lacks wisdom, wisdom is the ability to make good decisions based upon the way God works. God made everything by design. And if we want to act within that design, then we need wisdom. Without wisdom, we'll make bad choices. And then everything will start coming unraveled. It'll start coming apart. And I love to watch the nature shows. National Geographic does a lot of them. And I remember watching these hummingbirds. I think it's in South America or Central America, somewhere down in there. But these hummingbirds have beaks that are that long. And, of course, it's saying, well, evolution designed over time, because there's these flowers that the pollen is that far down in, and so evolution had to come up with a bird that could pollinate, otherwise the flowers would die. And, of course, my question is, well, how long did that take? Oh, about a million years. So how'd the flowers reproduce in the meantime? You know, how did women have babies without ovaries for a million years, waiting for this to develop? But the fact is, everything God designed, it was from wisdom. He did it perfect. He got through. He said, it's good. It's good. Sometimes you have to have a microscope to see the good. But everything he made is good. And everything he wants to do through you to help mankind is good. He will give you the wisdom to be there, to make good decisions, or to help them make good decisions that will correct the mess their life is in. The beautiful thing is, he will give liberally. There is no end to the amount of wisdom. I love to sit in his presence every day, and he imparts wisdom to me. And I just sit there and I don't talk. I just listen, and I just let him impart wisdom to me. And then when I go out, and people will start in with their problems, and it's exactly the right word that puts all the pieces together. Yes. You know, sometimes they're a little hesitant, like, okay, I'll try that. And that's okay with God. And they try it. They come back grinning from ear to ear. It worked. Yeah, that's kind of the way it is. You know, the sun comes up every day exactly when it's supposed to. The moon comes up every day when it's supposed to. It works. Yeah. And all that was designed by wisdom. the whole universe. Okay? Ephesians 1:8, which he lavished upon us in every kind of wisdom and understanding, that is practical insight and prudence. So he gives both wisdom and understanding. Every kind. Everything that you need in the way of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, God will provide for you. In fact, his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding actually live inside of you. It's a part of who you are since you've been born again. Okay, knowledge. We covered the wisdom and understanding, so the next one's knowledge. Matthew 13:11-12. And he replied to them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. For whoever has, that is spiritual knowledge, to him will more be given, and he will be furnished richly, so that he will have abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away." There again, it's the multiplying effect. The more you have, the more you can have. To him who has will more be given. And it's in all of these unlimited things. You have it, and then you apply it. Now you have more. You apply it, and you have more. You apply it, and you have more. You start backing off, it'll start backing off. And pretty soon you'll end up with nothing. Okay, Holy Spirit, John 3:34. "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure." God does not give the Spirit by measure. How much of the Holy Spirit can you have? Well, there's no... Some of you ladies, you cook, there's all kind of measures in there. A teaspoon. I remember when I was a kid, they talked about a thimbleful. People don't use thimbles anymore. But a thimbleful would be a measure, wouldn't it? A 50-gallon drum would be a measure. 10,000-gallon tank would be a measure. But the Scripture says he don't give the Holy Spirit by measure. So how much can you receive? Well, that depends on how much you're going to give away. Because it's going to be coming in and going out. It's more like a pipe than it is a tank. Okay? You're going to be receiving and giving out and receiving. It's really according to how many people you're going to be helping. That's all that limits how much. If you're going to sit around in your living room and watch TV, you don't need very much. Well, you probably need a whole bunch to combat all of the evil of the TV. But if you're going to be out among the people, and you're going to go out in the name of Jesus and just love people, then there's no limit to how much Holy Spirit God will give you. Absolutely not. You're only limited by how much effort, God effort, it's going to take to meet the needs of the people. The anointing, the unction of the Spirit, the virtue of the Spirit. When the woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment, virtue, he said, "I felt virtue go out of me." He had enough for her. You read a little further on, and it says, everyone that touched his garment was healed. Everyone. He had enough for everyone that touched the hem of his garment. He had enough food to feed 5,000. He had enough food to feed 4,000. There was no limit. See? No limit to these things. Okay? The name of Jesus. Now, I love this one. At first glance at it, you may not think it's very much. But to me, this is one of the most important things I learned years ago. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, what helped me was years ago I read that same verse in the Amplified Bible. And it said, whatever you ask in my name, presenting all that I am. Oh. Then you have to read the whole of the Old Testament, all of the names of God. The Hebrew and so forth, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Siskinu, Jehovah Rapha. How many of those songs we've sung, you know, wonderful, wonderful songs that we love to sing with the names of God in there. But Jesus is saying, whatever you ask, the Father mentioning who I am, mentioning all that I am, what all is in my name. And there isn't anything on this earth that isn't covered in that. Now, it took God thousands of years, because they were kind of slow learners, but one by one, God would mention his name and would reveal himself. He didn't just say, my name is. He would actually do something for them so they could see the results, and then he would say, I am. And then here comes Jesus. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so on and so forth. Then you could go on 60 of those. And so there would be no end to just studying the name of God. If you want to do that for the rest of your life, you would never come to the end of finding out everything that is in the name of Jesus. Never. It's unlimited. And it's all included. It's all in that one name. You will call his name Jesus. And everything that is in that name, we have a right to. Okay, blessings. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. There's no limit to God's blessings. All the blessings of heaven. Remember, even way back in the Old Testament, God said, blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. In Proverbs, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. Toiling cannot increase it. New Testament, blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. And because I'm blessed, then I can be a blessing. I can go out. I don't have to worry about me. I don't have to take care of me. I'm blessed. Now I can afford to be a blessing everywhere I go. And I can give out blessings because I have all blessings in the heavenly realm. Okay, Revelation, Mark 4:22. Things are hidden temporarily only as a means to revelation. And I'll cover that real quick. Most of you know the word revelation simply means to uncover what is. It doesn't have anything to do with coming up with something else. There is no new revelation, only an uncovering of what is. All through the Old Testament, God revealed himself. He uncovered himself piece by piece. But he was that God all the time. Okay. What John saw in the book of Revelation has always been. It was just being uncovered at the time. Okay. So Here's what it has to say. Things are hidden temporarily only as a means to revelation, for there is nothing hidden except to be revealed. Nor is anything temporarily kept secret except in order that it may be made known. There is no limit. And of course, my favorite thing when I'm especially starting out with new disciples that I'm training for Jesus, my favorite thing is to get them to get more than a piece of paper, get a spiral notebook, and just start reading the Bible and pray. Pray for like 5 minutes, read the Bible for 5 minutes, pray for 5 minutes, read. And then when God begins to speak to you from the Word of God, start writing it down and see how much revelation you get. There is absolutely no end to how much revelation God will give you. I go out and I sit on my deck looking out over the lake. This morning I had to run back in because I have several teachings that I have going on my computer at one time and had to add, you know, more scriptures because the garden keeps growing. God will give you a revelation, and that revelation will keep growing and growing and growing and growing. You could write books just on the revelation God gives you if you'll spend 20, 30 minutes a day with the Lord every day. He just speak and speak. A lot of you do that. You journal and write down what, you know, what God's given you. If you're not getting revelation, it's not because God isn't speaking. God is speaking every day. So this revelation, nothing hidden except to be revealed. All you have to do is start receiving. The more you receive, the more you will receive. But it could go on 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. So you do have to eat sometime, don't you? You have to work, and I love to work. I love to work hard. But even then, we can work hard and still be receiving revelation at the same time. It's hard for me sometimes to get it all written down. But I've learned something. That all revelation that God gives me, I don't have to teach to you. A lot of it is just visiting. We're just visiting. The Father and I, Jesus and I, we're just visiting. And all this revelation comes. If I tried to teach you just the stack of revelation I have laying on my desk right now, handwritten, it'd take the rest of our lives. We'd all be dead and gone by the time I got just that done. But I never lack for anything to share, because it's just every day it's new and it's fresh and it's wonderful. Okay, Ephesians 1:9, making known to us the mystery, the secret of His will, of His plan, of His purpose. And it is this: in accordance with His good pleasure, His merciful intention, which He had previously purposed and set forth in Jesus. Set forth in Him. So all we have to do, if we want to please God, is line up with what He's doing. Okay. Just line up and walk in the way that pleases Him. Get away from selfishness. Get away from self-centeredness. Just live for His pleasure. And whether I live or whether I die doesn't matter at all. I really don't care. I live on the other side more than I live on this side now. And to transfer over will be just fine with me. I enjoy both. Okay? Life. We're talking about unlimited things. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. In other words, there, this water, this water that He has given us of His Spirit and of His Word, It's springing up to everlasting life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Or as it is in the Amplified Bible, in abundance to the full till it overflows. So it would be like a glass of water that the water kept coming over the rim and never stopped. And as you give out, and you give out, and you give out, you'll never run out. Because you have everlasting life. It's not talking here about length of time necessarily, although it will be forever and ever and ever and ever. But it's talking about this abundance of life. You have God life in you. And you have this God life to share with everyone that you come in contact with. We're talking about imparting life to people. People are dying and they don't know why they're dying. They're hurting and they don't know why they're hurting. And they're mad. They're angry. They're angry at God. They're angry at you. But if you understand how much God loves them and how just being filled, I get to be around these people that were the angry people. I mean, throwing stuff, angry people. Hurting people, angry people. And these people now are filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with this life. And they'll tell you, that's what I wanted all along, but I didn't know where to find it. And guess what? You have it. You have all the life everyone around you needs through Jesus Christ our Lord, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Okay. 2 Peter 1:3. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things. I like that. That are requisite and suited for life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who has called us by and to his own glory and excellence. Suited for life. Everything suited for life. Everything that every person needs for life. So that's not only spiritual life, that's natural life. Jesus said, don't be anxious about food and clothes. My Father knows that you have need of those things. He'll take good care of you. Okay. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That life essence. And God breathed and man became a living soul. That's the life he's talking about. Do you get close enough to God for him to breathe on you? Do you get close enough to God for him to wrap his arms around you? Have you ever felt him physically wrap his arms around you? He will do that. Just draw near to him. He'll draw near to you. Nothing that I enjoy more, just sitting in my office and God comes and he just wraps his arms around me. I could just feel his breath, his life. And by the way, we get that same thing when we're reading the Bible. If you're just reading for information, it won't happen. But if you understand that the words are spirit and they are life, while you're reading, it will actually start coming into you. And I can actually feel it coming into my mortal body, my physical body. Jesus said, the words I speak, they're spirit and they are life. And I can just feel the restoration. And I just want to take a deep breath and say, yes. You know, I just let the Word of God, I'm soaking in his presence, and I'm soaking in his word, and I'm breathing in of his life and receiving that life that he gave to Adam. Adam was just a hunk of dirt until God breathed on him. King David had that same experience. Psalm 119, verse 25 says, my soul cleaves to the dust. Quicken me by your word. Quicken me. Make me alive by your word. You get in his presence, he starts talking to you. And all you could take on any Goliath out there. Nothing impossible to us. We're full of life. Grace, Ephesians 2:7. He did thus that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor, and his kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. Remember what I taught on grace? I said it's rich resources. The definition of grace there is rich resources, or God's riches at Christ's expense, if you want to do an acrostic on that. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. In other words, God's empty in heaven for you. Glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So there's no limit to the amount of glory, glory being the recognizable reality of God's presence. I told you about Dick Carter come into the Berean Baptist Church, and of course he would come in, there's a side door to a foyer type of entrance, but you're sitting in church and you can't see what's going on behind you, and you could actually feel him walk in the room. Now this is a man that that'll pray 16 hours a day. He will fast 40 days at a time, praying 16 hours of the a day of those 40 days. And when he walks in, you can actually have your back to him. He's coming in at the back of the church, and you can be sitting on the front row and feel him walk in. That doesn't have to be him. That can be you. It can't be him now because he'd been dead for many years. Died back in 74. He'd been dead and gone a long time. So it's your turn. Be the glory of God. Be the glory of God. Be so filled with the Spirit that everywhere you go, people can sense the presence of God. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Should be the same thing for us. So when they saw the disciples, said, and they knew that they had been with Jesus. People ought to be able to recognize. You shouldn't have to tell them. They should feel it. Fact is, you can tell when they feel it, because some of them will get very angry at you, and some of them will come and hug your neck and you don't know who they are. Yeah. Or they'll come, as I've told you so many times, people will walk up on the street or at Walmart or at the gas and just start talking to me and telling me their troubles. That's like, why were you telling me? They're actually talking to God, because they sense God in me. And so they want to come to what they think might be the source of their solution, their answer. And that's where they ought to come. They ought to come to you. And do you know the answer? Absolutely not. That's the fun part of it. I don't know the answer. I don't know how to help anyone. I don't even know how to help me. But when they come, I have everything they need and can bless them and help them. Hallelujah.